Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I came here today to tell you, in all seriousness, that I'm done. I did what you said. I gave it a lot of thought, and I decided that once and for all, it's over. The truth is, this therapy is a jerk off. You know it, and I know it.
I actually don't know it, but please continue.
It's a jerk off.
The Don and Mike Show.
Celebrating 20 years of genius, the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, hi everybody, we're back.
Hi everybody.
And I love it when I get a tap on the shoulder as we're on the air saying, hey, I gotta take my headphones off. Right? We were playing whatever that tape was.
Well, what
was.
Happened just then? I wasn't paying attention. What was the deal? What was he saying to you?
Well, we were supposed to have a guest on now, which is why everybody was giving me the break, break, break sign.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you saw the light ring. And
yeah.
Then right as we are going on the air, Rob touches my shoulder and I take my headphones off and he says, the guy's not there. The guy won't be there for how long?
He's 5 minutes behind, so we need to wait 4 minutes now.
How long of a window do we have with this particular fella?
This I don't know.
Does anybody know?
John would know.
Why don't you ask the producer?
Well, because this guy was acting like he knew what was going on. I was pointing to Robbie. Hey, John.
I was told we got him at 4:15. I was not given a window, so I'm not sure we're under the gun for time. I was not told that we were under the gun for time.
Okay, we'll move on.
We'll press on. We were both, getting... We get a little revved up when we get a guest, sure. You know, and now we're pros, though. We'll move forward and do what
boy.
We do. Yeah, there, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, boy, we're pros. There,
and
boy.
Absolutely destroy them.
Yeah, boy, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so...
boy, that's rare, though, that you get it that... I mean, boy.
Boy.
Boy, there, boy.
Boy, there, boy.
To get it like right as the, I mean, it, you just opened your mouth.
No idea. No idea. Okay. Well,
oh, I get it.
Yeah, yeah, boy. Okay.
Sure.
Yep. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I like him.
I do too.
Let's see what
I don't
happens.
Watch him enough, the guy, but either. I like him.
Let's see what happens. I don't know. If it's one of those deals, they've only got 10 minutes and they're on like a satellite or something.
Mm-hmm.
That normally sucks.
Right.
Well, the guy we're talking about is Craig Ferguson.
Oh. Yeah, 10 minutes is fine, don't you think? We're with him. I mean, that would be, I wish we had more.
I really, the reason that we did this whole nutty break thing was...
Because he only had 10 minutes.
No. The thought that we had to hit it right at that time so we could have him for...
Maximum. The whole time.
An elongated mm-hmm. period of time.
Oh.
Like, you know, when Bergeron, buddy... Is finally going to be on the show.
Phone's ringing.
I'll bet that's him. I'll bet we have him for a while.
When Bergeron buddy's on the show on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
John has already talked personally to Tom Bergeron. He will give us at least 30 minutes.
Oh, wonderful. We can really get into his soul.
Of his undivided time.
That'll be delightful.
Got him?
Okay, the soul of Bergeron.
Here he is now, everybody. Craig Ferguson. Hey, Craig.
Oh, hold on just 1 second. I'm getting for you.
Oh, it's a person. It's one of his peeps.
Craig will be right with you.
One of his people.
Oh crap! That was
oh,
me.
Oh dear!
Did you hang up?
That was, I did. I did not mean to. That was me.
A little button problem.
That is my fault. That's me.
It's Monday.
Dumbass.
Me, dumbass.
There it is.
Oh, look, it's the phone ringing.
Hey, it's really calling right back. Sometimes that doesn't always happen. This is fun.
Is it him yet, or his girl?
Yeah, they're getting him right now.
They're getting him again. He's a very busy man.
There he is. Try this now. Hello, Craig.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
Hello, Craig Ferguson. Worth the wait, everybody.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you, Craig?
Well, you know, how am I? In all honesty, I feel a little vulnerable today.
Why is that?
I
don't know. I'm just a little vulnerable. It's just, I'm secular like that. Vulnerable, but still masculine.
You're feeling sensitive.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what it is. I'm a little weepy. I don't know why. Just a little weepy.
That made me laugh right away.
We can all be femme if you want.
Yeah. We're in touch with our feminine side. I mean, we're sensitive guys.
It's masculine weepiness. I'm concerned about Paris. I'm concerned about, everything that's going on. It's a worry.
You know, Craig, if it can happen to Paris, It can happen. It can happen to anyone. It really can.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the place, not the person.
No.
I'm not concerned about Paris, the place. Yeah. I'm concerned about. Well, you know, didn't America used to be about rags to riches? That's why I came. it's in reverse these days. Everyone's like rich, successful, and then completely trashes their life. What the hell is going on?
Speaking of weepy, she was awfully weepy over the weekend.
We should take a moment to tell everybody. Of course, this is Craig Ferguson. Yeah. Everybody who knows. The Late Late Show on CBS.
And wonderful show.
He will be here in D.C. at the Warner Theater on July 14th.
I've watched your show so many times, but you know when you're at that time of the evening, you know, I don't know a lot about you personally. I see you on TV all the time, but I didn't even know that you get out there and do stand up a lot. This is obviously stand up. You're going to do how long a show do you do?
Well, about an hour and a bit. I don't know, an hour and 15, depends on what the hell I'm talking about. It's kind of that's how I started out when back in the old country about 20 years ago. I was a stand up, so it's kind of what I've really done. It's what brought me here in the first place, and then I ended up working as an actor. But it's really what I always did. It certainly I wasn't a late night talk show host. I've never really even thought about doing that until they offered me the job here.
You know, and about that, Craig, when that job came up, everybody, myself included, scratched our heads and went, "You mean the guy from Drew Carey?"
Me too. I thought really Alf the alien puppet might be a safer choice.
But get ready for some suckling here, because you're goddamn good, sir. And what I like about you is the fact that it appears that you don't take yourself as seriously as some of the other cats who have had a gig like that before. I appreciate the fact, as a viewer, that you just sit down and if you've had a bad day, you say, "Hey, I've had a bad day," or "Let's talk about this," or "Let's do this." It is a refreshing look at television.
Well, thank you. I mean, the model for me on this is really more about the way that radio is done or date. Like, you watch how Regis does daytime TV. Do you know what I mean? It's like someone gets him mad, he talks about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so it's trying to combine that with late night sensibilities and with a kind of stand-up sensibility. That's really how it came about. I mean, thanks. The thing is, I tried at first to read a bunch of gags from the teleprompter, and it drove me crazy, you know, because I'm reading these gags, and I'm thinking, well, that isn't very funny. Why is anyone laughing at that? And then I would say that out loud, and that would get more of a laugh than actually the joke itself. And so it was the bits in between the gags that finally became the show.
You know, when I'm watching you occasionally make reference to the fact that you did party, you used to party, and you don't party anymore. Is that the way? Because when I see you, I always say he does look like a guy that'd be like a lot of fun to go out and and have a couple of beers with. And
and that's true. I'm good for about a couple of beers, but after a couple of beers, it's a conga line to a jail in Mexico where we all get tattoos. You know what I mean? So for me, it was about striking the balance of you know. I mean, I don't drink anymore, but I think after the, you know, once you stop shaking, after that, you learn how to party without actually partying. If you know what I mean.
I understand.
Oh, well, no one likes a quitter, Craig.
Well, that's right. And it's funny. I go back to when I go back to the old country, my own drinking buddies there. I go to the bar, and I'll sit down for about 90 minutes to 2 hours. We have a great time, and the crack is great, and everybody's talking. And then they start to repeat themselves, and once they go into reruns, I leave.
Yeah. That's a good cue.
Well, that's exactly what it is. As soon as the reruns start, I go, "All right, fellas, I'll see you tomorrow."
That is a great way to do it, because that is the key. When you see somebody who's really loaded, they're going to go with the same thing again and again and again.
Over and over and over again.
How would you grade yourself on doing the show? You've done it now for a while, and as you mentioned, it took you a while to find your own spot there. How do you think you're doing?
I think I'm doing okay. I think there's a long way to go. I think that, you know, it changes from night to night. On some nights I'd give myself a D, and some nights I'd give myself, you know, a B. I wouldn't go above a B plus yet, I don't think.
Never one straight A show. A show that you got done with the guests, with the monologue, with everything where you just said this was a home run.
Well, you know, there would still be me in it, and that's going to bring it down a little bit.
Can you tell it, because you are honest, and who's the biggest dick you've had on the show, the celebrity that you thought would be a good interview, down-to-earth, nice person, whatever?
And even if you might think they're a nice person, someone who just, it was more labor than you expected it to be.
To chat with them.
Do you honestly think, as a professional broadcaster, sure, I'm going to answer that question
yes,
with any
uh-huh
degree of honesty?
Yes, yes. We've been doing this for a long time.
This is great. If anybody asks us, our answer is going to be you.
Oh, well, good. Well, I'll take the notoriety.
All right. Well, then, without giving a name, mm-hmm, has there – there certainly
has. You know what? There have been a couple of people that maybe I've thought about halfway through the interview. I thought, you know, you're really on the wrong show. I think maybe – I know – I don't think she's a bad person. I don't know her. But, like, when Tara Reid was on, I was halfway through the interview, and I'm thinking, what the hell am I talking to you for?
You know? Boy, are you – you just got – you know what that is? That's the honesty bell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
really
you. Thank you. The honesty bell. Which right goes off when you speak the truth, right?
Well,
thank you.
Well, the thing is, now, I don't know the girl, and I don't want to talk smack about her, but I just thought...
You don't have to. Don't have to, sir. You said her name, and I think we all know.
What is the best thing and worst thing about doing a late-night television show? I mean, I would think that there have to be some frustrations with, you know, being on at that hour because you're famous, but you're not as famous. It's a little different when you have that kind of notoriety.
I think that I'm plenty famous for me to I don't need to be any more famous than I am now. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at how, you know, fame used to be something that people, you know, kind of aspire to it. I think they still aspire to it, but it's treated like it's criminal. Like, you know, people follow you around and watch what you're doing and stuff like that. I don't want any of that. I'm good where I am. And you know, I make the show about, you know, 5-6 o'clock every day,
mm-hmm,
and then it goes out. So what time it goes out at night doesn't really concern me that much. I guess it's better to be on at 12:30 because I'm sure I get away with a little more censorship wise than I would at 11:30. You know, and so for that I'm grateful. I'm really okay with it. The best thing and the worst thing about it, to answer your question, I think, is the same thing, which is you have to do it every day. Mm-hmm. So if you do one that you think is really terrific, you know, the bad news is you still have to do another one tomorrow. But if you do a really bad one, the good news is you get another crack at it tomorrow.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that way it's like baseball. You know,
yeah,
I mean, you strike out, you go play the next day. How American have you become since you've moved over here and been involved in our media? How much of us has crept into you?
I think a lot. I mean, I think I'm kind of like a convert. You know, when someone. You know, when someone becomes a Catholic in later life, they feel they have to be extra Catholic, more Catholic than regular Catholics that grew up Catholic. So they talk in Irish accents and, oh, the Holy Father and all that. I'm kind of like that with America. I'm super patriotic about America because I've got that 19th century immigrant throwback thing going on. You know, I mean, this is a new country and a new chance. And I'm really unapologetic about that. I mean, I absolutely get that there are political problems, nightmares in this country, but I still buy the dream and the idea, and I'm all for it.
And your father passed away. Was it last year, Craig, that your dad passed away? Was that it?
What's that, sorry?
Did your dad pass away last year?
Last year, yeah.
I got to say, I happened to tune in that night, and I without question, I found that one of the most compelling. Just the way you handled that, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. And I know a lot of people that have been through the same thing. I lost my dad a while ago. I mean, felt the same way. Really was, it wasn't sappy, it wasn't syrupy, but it was just really from the heart. And that had to be I would imagine that was kind of hard to do.
It was hard to do, but I think knowing, you know, my dad as I did, and of course I did, he would have said go to work, you know. What I tried to do was be honest about who he was and what my relationship was to him. And because, you know, it was kind of funny like that as well. I couldn't go out and tell a bunch of gags and hide it. That would have been dishonest. And the other way, I didn't want to go on and, you know, and play soft music and go, my dad was the greatest guy who ever lived. I mean, he was to me, but, you know, you didn't know him. And so what happened was that, you know, I just tried to tell the truth about it. And what was funny was afterwards, I mean, it got so much attention, that thing. And I got a couple of psychics from New York.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of got in touch with me and said, you know, we could help you get, you know, communicate with your dad. And I'm like, you know, we hardly talked to each other when he was alive. You know, so some self-deluded media whore from the Upper West Side ain't going to improve things between two Scotsmen.
Craig, obviously you have stumbled upon the recipe, but when you said... like, the reason you like Regis, when Mike brought up the thing about your dad, that's exactly what set your show apart, and you should never let go of that. I'm the same way. I watch old man Regis every morning,
mm-hmm,
only because I know how tough it is to sit there and fill 20 minutes. And you know that old bastard, he's got no jokes ready. He's just coming out, and it's, you know, whatever. It's
he's swinging it every day.
You know, I talked to him about it. I said, how did you get, how did you develop this? And he said, I couldn't afford any writers. No one gave me any writers. And then, of course, he talks for 20 minutes about not having any writers.
And like, for instance, when Mike mentioned the thing with your dad, there would be some guys, we'll mention a name like Jay Leno, who I don't think could handle it.
Yeah.
A guy like Letterman, who we like a lot, respect, would handle it a little differently.
A little more probably reserved. I mean, just a little more controlled, I would think.
You did bring down everything and talk to, and that's the main thing. Talk to the viewers, not down to them. Talk at them, saying, look, I had a crappy day today.
Yeah.
God, my dad died. I want to talk about my dad. Totally get that.
And they, I get the impression, I mean, you get to do what you want to do on that show. You don't get a lot of interference from the suits so far. I mean, are they letting you do what you want to do?
Almost all the time. I mean, if it's anything, it's a word here and there. I mean, what they do is, and you mentioned the guy that made that possible for me, who is David, of course. Dave's production company owns the show, and David Letterman is my boss.
Right.
So the power that Dave has, and also the relationship that he has with Les Moonves and with CBS, it's, you know, they trust each other creatively. I don't know if anybody in show business trusts each other, you know, financially, but they trust each other creatively. And so I get to do this, you know. I mean, it was an environment really created by Dave, you know.
The only thing that I think could possibly help your career would be if you pulled a Hugh Laurie and if you could maybe learn how to speak American. I think that would pull you over the top, because I can't tell you how many people, you watch House, and then you say, first off, you say, that's the guy from Stuart Little, and they go, no way. And then you say, now, listen to him talk in his real voice, and he sounds like you.
Are you able to pull off the American accent,
No,
Craig?
And I have no interest in doing it. What I'm working on is an Austrian accent, because I want to be governor of California.
You're a good guy. Are you married?
I've been married a couple of times.
And how many?
It was sensational. Twice.
Twice, and it's currently single?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, I would say doing what you do. I mean, that'd be a nice way to meet women.
I never had a problem meeting women before I had this job. That wasn't something I lacked confidence in.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Do you get laid a lot doing that show?
not so much.
Well, I mean, it's like, let's say you're on a layover in Wichita, you know, and some cow comes up to you at the airport and goes, oh, you're that guy, and you've got like a 6-hour layover. Do you take her across the street to the Econo Lodge? And
I can't last 6 hours. I'm 45 years old. What's wrong with you?
You take 10 minutes out.
Well, we love your show. We really do. You're fantastic.
Thank you.
You're a very funny man. And blah 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 blah
blah blah blah.
All that
blah,
stuff. Blah.
Warner Theater, July 14th. You know,
absolutely.
Craig Ferguson, and we'll have the information on our website. At DonandMikeWebsite.com. Been a pleasure having you on. You're a very good broadcaster.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy the
show. Take care, Craig.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know. Yeah. You got to do that with the Scottish accent.
You know.
You knew.
You know.
Man, he really does look like he's found his niche with that. I'd love to see his stand-up, because I'd like to see him work a little dirtier.
And I
hope he works a little
I'm
dirtier.
I'm sure he does.
I really do.
I'm sure, like a lot of people, when he was on Drew Carey, it was like, you know, sometimes he'd have a funny scene, and sometimes you go, well, that's the whole thing with the whole Drew Carey show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole show is like,
I mean, they were good together. They had their little moments. Then you have the guy that wears the tutu now for whatever commercial it is. Mm. I forgot what commercial.
Ryan.
What is it?
Snackwells.
Snackwells, yes.
The other guy who was Jethro in the Bad Beverly Hillbillies movie.
That guy. I haven't seen him anywhere since Drew Carey. Does he pop up occasionally?
Yeah, right.
And then there's the other guy with the giraffe neck who was very funny. I'm very frustrated because these are some talented people.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were on that other Drew Carey show.
The Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you don't see him anymore. You don't see a lot of those guys.
And what about Baby? What about Mimi?
Kenny.
Yeah.
Mimi.
What's her name, Robbie?
Kathy Kenny.
Yeah.
Hot as balls.
Hot as balls.
Swollen balls.
Hot as sweaty balls.
Shreddy. Shreddy.
Shreddy balls. Or what is it that Alec Baldwin
said? I think what I'm most proud of is my balls. We're here with Paul Shreddy. I think his name was Paul Shreddy. I might have the first name wrong, but I'm not sure. He was also in The Good Shepherd, looking old.
Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin. He was fat. Yes, he was fat. Fat Alec.
To show you how bad that movie is.
Oh, I was so bummed that I even I wasted my time.
Good show.
This morning on the Today Show, they, of course, I don't know why they feel the need to send Al Roker to that part of Kansas that got wiped out by the tornado. Mm-hmm. Like, what the frig is he going to do?
Help clean up.
Go down there and say, hey,
rebuild.
Somebody eat a piece of my stomach or something.
How close are you to that neck of the woods?
That town got wiped out about three quarters of the way to Dodge City from Wichita. It's really more western central Kansas.
Okay. But they have, here's my point on this. They've got him walking around and he's saying, right. Oh, this is sad, blah, blah, blah. Look at though. Here's a video store. And he holds up to show that even the people that like would walk by and maybe not loot, but thinking about picking up something on the ground. He said, look, even right here, a video store, here's a copy of The Good Shepherd. And I thought, even after a tornado,
oh dear,
that somebody walking by wouldn't pick up that piece of crap.
No, I knew it. It was just so long ago. I waited so long to see it on DVD that I remembered that you had said it was crap. I should have called you and said,
and also,
isn't this real garbage?
Larry King said, the quote was, the best CIA movie ever, boy.
No, nobody's that dry.
Yeah, boy.
I don't care how you know.
Big,
cold
big,
you are.
Big, big, yeah, and a big, yeah, big, and a big, yeah, big, yeah, big.
Nobody's
bang,
that
bang,
dry.
Bang, bang, bang.
Except for Gladys Kravitz, she may be that dry.
Dry, boy.
Dry, there, boy. Yeah, boy, yeah, boy, he was dry. Yeah.
Whoa.
This is the Don and Mike Show.